Well, I have a couple stories. I can't even tell on this podcast because they're too people doing weird things in bathrooms.
Can you paint us a PG-rated picture of it, or is that bad?
Gross, dirty things in bathrooms that you would have to clean up.
On this episode, we talk about the bad, dirty, boring jobs that made us who we are. We interview an animator who's taking the long road to his dream job, and we'll experience a spoken word piece from the Sean Critchfield.
You are listening to the Rebel Storytellers podcast.
Rebel Storytellers.
Candid conversations with dreamers, doers, and creative problem solvers.
Hosted by Brad Wise and Steve Fuller.
A wee podcast made in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So, Steve, worst job ever?
My worst job ever?
Yeah.
Or the worst job that's ever existed?
Do you have an answer for both?
It's the same answer.
Okay.
And it's also, it answers a third question, too, which is what was my first job?
Okay.
Which is also my worst job, which is also the worst job.
In the planet?
Yeah. On the planet.
Okay.
I don't know about inside the planet.
I thought maybe your job was like in a coal mine, the way you're describing it. That would be in the planet.
No, not nearly as difficult. I worked at Burger King.
Really?
Yeah. That was my first job ever. I was 16.
Why? Why would you do that? Of all of the jobs, I can't even picture you going to Burger King and wanting to work there. Little 16-year-old Steve?
Little Stevie. He loved burgers. He loved Stevie loved Whoppers. I couldn't get enough of them.
The grill marks.
But I think about that as I get older. Like, you live in your little world. And so there's like 10 things in that world. And one of them is like Burger King. That's what you know. You don't understand the world. And so I used to like Burger King. And so I guess I just went and applied for the job.
Oh, man.
So I remember one time being on lunch break, and we had a manager who just really felt like managing this Burger King was the most important thing you could do in life. And if that's your job, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that job. But there's a lot of jobs out there that it just doesn't matter, you know?
Did you know that back then? Like, you knew it didn't matter, or were you like so into Whoppers that—
Well, I knew it, but my manager didn't. And so at one point, I was making myself a Whopper for lunch because you get them like half off.
They don't give them to you for free?
No.
Could you steal them?
Well,
did little Stevie steal some Whoppers?
Maybe. But what we certainly would do was make them to order. So I'd put like bacon on my Whopper and all kinds of stuff that doesn't come on a Whopper. And my manager caught me doing that one time, and she lost it. She was so upset because the bacon would be miscounted, and we'd have all kinds of bacon inventory issues. It was a pretty scary moment.
When you say lost it, like, I can't picture.
She got mad.
What does that mean? Like, she's screaming at you, like, Stevie! No bacon, no wire hangers on the Whoppers.
I don't, what? Wire hangers?
It's from a movie.
I don't think she called me Stevie, but she certainly got very upset and, you know, said I can't do it anymore, get fired, all that kind of stuff. So that was pretty traumatic. But I will say this, did you ever work fast food?
No.
The best part of working in a fast food restaurant, by far, it's not even a close second, is cleaning toilets. I made that up. That's actually a terrible part. But the best part by far is being on drive-thru.
Okay.
Because you would put on a headset and you would talk to people, and then other people in the restaurant would also wear the headsets, and so you could talk back and forth to them. So as I'm telling this story, what I'm realizing is that was the birth of my podcasting.
Oh.
There was something magical about wearing that headset and talking to people.
You liked hearing your own voice.
Yeah.
You liked making people laugh.
Yeah, and giving them burgers. The three goals of this podcast.
Now, would you interact? You're saying you would like make jokes and have witty banter with the people coming through the drive-thru?
No, with people you worked with. So
you're on like a separate channel. You'd be like, Hank, go to channel 2. I'm going to tell you a real zinger.
Right. And what you would do is there'd be one person on drive-thru, and even if you weren't on drive-thru, you'd still wear headsets so you guys could just talk to each other all night. And so that was actually the best part of it. But the worst part of it was everything else. Cleaning bathrooms. People do terrible things in public restrooms.
Especially Burger King bathrooms,
Gosh. Just the worst things you can imagine. And
can you paint us a PG-rated picture of it, or it's that bad?
Gross, dirty things in bathrooms that you would have to clean up.
Really? Are you making that up?
No,
Are you quoting that one song where the guy once got busy in a Burger King bathroom?
Well, yeah.
That's what happened?
Yeah.
Someone did the business with someone else?
No.
By themselves in the bathroom?
I wasn't there. I didn't watch the act.
It was singular business.
But I'm led to believe that it was a solo activity. Yeah. And then someone has to clean up.
Someone. Someone left a Whopper of their own in there.
And it's actually very hard work, too. Like, I know I feel like I'm mocking fast food folks. If you work in fast food, trust me, I know that is very difficult work. It is like you're so busy all the time and you get paid nothing. I don't have much opinion on the whole minimum wage thing, but I do know that some of the hardest work I've ever done was working in a fast food restaurant.
But that's not saying a whole lot for you. I've felt your hands.
What? What do you mean? Oh, because they're soft?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably, I did not like fast food. I was there for 7 months, and then I got out.
Okay.
Never to go back again.
Good.
Yours?
My worst job. My worst job and my worst boss are two different things, but I can talk about...
I guess your worst boss?
Yeah.
Is his office 10 feet from us?
Does his name rhyme with Mo?
Mojoid.
Mojoid. My worst job was probably... I was living out in Venice Beach, California, and I didn't have any money. And I finally found a job that would hire me because I wasn't bilingual, so I couldn't find a job where I was living. And I finally found one, and it was called World Tech Printers. And it was what I found out later was that it was a total scam, like it was a con. But it was getting on the phone every single day and calling people and asking companies, could I talk to the person who makes your printer cartridge decisions? And then once someone handed me off to that person, I would hand it to one of the closers. In this room, when I walked in the first day, it was this sketchy room of like long tables and phones with metal chairs and someone sitting behind a desk, and they had colored yarn scotch taped that they made spell out World Tech Printers on the wall. And I was horrible at the job, and I hated it. And I would, like, look forward to getting, like, the hold music when I would get that. I would, like, just sit there and, like, listen to it, and then I would hang up the phone in frustration. And the second day of the job, halfway through the day, the closer came up to me, and he fired me.
He said, why?
He said, don't come back tomorrow.
Were you that bad?
I never was able to hand off a phone call to the closer. So
you
I
only
guess,
had 2 days.
Yeah. I wasn't good. I wasn't good at all.
So first, their sign was made of yarn?
Colored, multicolored rainbow yarn, like in cursive that they scotch taped to spell World Tech Printers.
Was this a real business?
No, because a few of the times someone on the other line would be like, I know this is a scam. I've already called the authorities on you. Do not call me again. Click. And so I'd be like, jeez.
So you were one of those people that when I get a phone call from an unknown number now,
yeah,
and I never answer it, but then I go to Google and I type in the phone number and there's a list of people saying, this is some scam company.
Yeah.
Don't answer.
Yeah.
That was you.
Totally.
Wow.
Yeah. But I probably spent the majority of my time listening to various on hold music tracks. So that was a bad job. I'm trying to think of what my life lesson was from that job.
You only had 2 days to learn.
I learned how to stick to things, stick to itiveness.
that seems like the opposite.
I learned perseverance.
Endurance. Yarn spelling.
I learned that yarn spelling is a thing.
craftiness.
It was so bad because there was like 50 people in this room. Like you're sitting like right beside someone with these old janky phones and it was just so loud. And
it stresses me out just thinking about it.
It was bad. We're going to interview a guy named Jim Wooten, a friend of mine. And he had some jobs, some bad jobs that led to a new job.
Yeah, a better job.
So we're going to talk to him after the break.
But first, a word from our sponsor.
Do we have a sponsor today?
We do.
Okay.
Our sponsor is Bubbles.
Okay. Like the monkey?
No, Bubbles. Like the bubbles that kids...
Yeah.
Bubbles for when you want to blow something. But you're out of chewing gum.
But you're out of chewing gum.
Right?
Yeah, that's good. I love it.
So thank you, Bubbles.
Thank you, Bubbles.
For sponsoring our podcast.
Here's our interview with Jim Wooten, animator at Epiphio Studios here in Cincinnati. Can we start the conversation and just ask you the simple but big question? What do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to do when you grow up? Do you know the answer to that question?
I didn't for a long time. I mean, I know now. I want to tell stories and move people. And I want to do it through cartoons.
How did you come to that conclusion that that's what you want to do?
Took a long time. I was told to go to school for business marketing, so I went to college, went to Miami University, and got a degree there. Went out, and I was a buyer for Lazarus Department Stores. Did not like it at all. I was stressed. The stress level was really high, and I couldn't figure out why. So eventually, I decided, you know what, I'm in the wrong career. So I went back to school and got a degree in elementary education, and because I love kids and I love teaching. It was great until I got out of school and had to teach, and I was like, this is terrible. And so I substitute taught for a little bit, student taught, but I was like, I got to get out of this, and I don't want to go through life hating what I do. So I went to work at the front desk at AT&T Wireless. And then I literally answered one phone call a day for over a year. So I started learning the radio frequency engineering manuals. I started reading those. And I also started drawing and learning Photoshop and stuff, doing the same things at the same time. But I eventually learned enough of the engineering side of things, of radio frequency, that they hired me as an entry-level engineer. And 10 years later, I was still there doing it. I got to pretty high level, too. And it was a lot of fun at first, but then the stress came back, and I was doing E911 on the RF side in the end. And
so you're sitting there at AT&T. The stress comes back. Then what happens?
I get laid off. So they took care of it for me. It was awesome because while I was at AT&T, I went back to school one more time because after I learned that I could learn radio frequency engineering enough to be a good employee for them, I realized I could learn whatever I wanted. And so I sat and thought, what do I really want to do? And that's what I need to go after. And that was, you know, telling stories. And what's the best way I can tell a story? I love drawing. Well, animations, that would be that for me. And so I went back to an online school. I almost flew out to Vancouver and lived out there for a year and a half. But my family, we were struggling. I was like, I really don't want to leave my family like that. But, my wife was behind me, so I was asking for another way. And I found on the internet place called animationmentor.com. Guys from Pixar, Industrial Light and Magic, DreamWorks, Blue Sky, they're teaching you. So I thought there's nothing better than that, and I can stay at home. So
I want to go back to you realize that you wanted to tell stories and be a storyteller, and I want to know where did that come from? Did that come out of the blue, or like when you trace back and you look back at yourself as a like from the time you were a kid, can you tell that you've been a teller of stories way back when?
Not necessarily teller of stories, but I love to make people laugh, and sometimes I fail miserably at it. But when someone is laughing, I know they're happy for that moment. And this world's crazy enough. If I can get somebody to laugh, then I'm happy for them. And so that's probably the root of the storytelling. It kind of expanded on that, and that I want people to feel. It's like when I go to a great movie, I come out of there, it's, I want to do that. I want to take people on a journey. I want to teach something in a way that is exciting and just takes people out of this world and on a journey. Haven't been able to do that yet, but I'm on the way. You know, I'm getting there with the animation.
And that's, talk to the people who may be listening. I think there's a lot of people who have those moments where they walk out of anything, whether it be a movie or they go to a market or they go to a restaurant, and they think, what I just experienced is what I want to do or to create for people. But then they're just like, but I can't. Mm. For a zillion legitimate reasons, how did you start making those steps to getting on the path to eventually you're going to do it?
Yeah. I was in elementary ed at Miami, and we had a class that was 3 hours long. It was once a week. It was health for kids. And I would doodle because, and I'm not a doodler, but I would doodle because it was just so boring and so long. But at the end of the semester, I looked at what I was doodling at the beginning of the semester and compared it to the end of the semester, and I realized I was getting better. So I was like, oh, I can learn this, you know. And once I realized that I could teach myself how to draw, that's when I was like coming out of cartoons or movies or something. I can do that. These guys are doing it. I can do it, you know. And especially after RF engineering, then I was like, I can learn whatever program I need to learn. So I learned some crazy programs there. I was an Excel guru. I hate Excel. But, man, I could make it do whatever I wanted with data. It was crazy.
I'm curious, what feels different about animation that you feel like you're not going to eventually get bored and start, quote, unquote, doodling something else? Because in the past, you've had some career changes. I'm assuming at some point you thought teaching is it. Like, I am passionate about this. Yeah. What feels different about this that you don't feel like you're going to give up on it or change?
The intense stress has gone away. It affected my body. Like, I had to take medicine for certain things because of it. That stress is, for the most part, gone away when I go to work. So I'm happy. So, even though day in and day out, there's days I love and days I hate. But, overall, I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm proud of my work, whereas I couldn't really say that in my other careers. I mean, to an extent, but not like this. And the thing about animation is it's a journey. You you can call people masters in animation if they're really good, but you're never finished learning. You'll never finish learning animation. It's just there's so much to it that you're always learning something new.
We'll say this is the final question. I want you to imagine someone's listening to this podcast who just got out of a terrible, whether it's a class that they're doodling through or daydreaming through, or a job that they're driving home from and hating. What would be your word to them?
I guess if you're not happy with where you're at, you need to sit down and what do you get excited about? What excites you? And find a way to make that your job. Because any job you get, no matter how exciting in the beginning, will push you to the point where you're like, man, I'm tired of this. So you might as well start with something you're really excited about. I mean, and, you know, it just do a little bit at a time. It took 10 years to go from engineering to animation. You know, I had a family I had to support, and it was tough. But because I loved it and it got me exciting, when I took classes, it was like opening Christmas presents, you know. So it didn't burn me out going after that degree because it was like free time to me. And don't settle for where you're at. If you don't like what you do, change it. It may take 10 years, but start on a path to change. Because the other side is glorious. I am so happy with where I'm at.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like there's so many lessons in your story of you didn't just automatically quit your job. You started slowly learning, and so you could still pay the bills. And then you chose something that you enjoyed doing in your spare time for free as a hobby, and so it never felt like work.
Right.
And probably still today, even though there's moments that it does.
Not like the work I used to have.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so many people out there. I see my students say this stuff all the time. It's like, why won't someone just give me $1 million? And it's like, we have to work for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've worked really hard over the years. You weren't just like, oh, I'm going to be an animator and okay, and why is everyone give me money for it? It's like you've put in the work to be able to get to a place where you can do this thing you love. And so many people just want to do the thing they love without putting in the work.
Right. And when I pay off the school loans that I got, the three that I have, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be happy.
That's true for all of us.
Yeah. But still, you find a way to make it work. I mean, we were like, oh, another school loan. Well, let's sit down with the budget and figure it out. Oh, you know what? It'll work if we do this and cut back here. And, you know, you find there's always a way.
Well, kind of what I hear from your story is you had the confidence and the courage to, like, take that step down that path and keep walking as it was hard.
Yeah.
Like, you had confidence in yourself that you could learn something, which came from...
Yeah, it came from engineering.
Came from this experience that you had that you didn't think was the thing. You discovered this confidence that you could pursue animation.
Yeah, before that, it was, I can't. I could never do that. I used to look at magazines in the 3D... like 3D World or one of those magazines, and I look at them, I'm like, man, I'll never be able to do that. You know, and it's like, no, now I can.
That's cool. Who would have thought that engineering radio waves
would
give you that spark of courage?
Magical radio waves. The mystery of radio waves.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Our last segment is a poem recorded live at a Feral Tale event in Las Vegas, Nevada. From Sean Critchfield, a fellow Rebel storyteller who will actually be in town for our first ever four-letter word show this February 13th. He'll literally be waxing poetic about the four-letter word, kiss. This poem, entitled I Am Words, is about the power of stories, which, as we heard from Jim, is what keeps him up at night dreaming and chasing, like many of us. So sit back and enjoy this piece from Sean, and if you're like me, you'll probably listen to it a few times, because every time I hear something new.
I am words. I'm a gift. I'm the voice of the artisans of this age. I'm slam, I'm beat, I'm rhyming meters, sometimes sloppy, sometimes neat. I'm in San Diego learning to teach yoga and struggling to cope with the rage. I'm the writing on the wall as well as on the page. I'm struggling to figure out what to do with what I'm learning and what I know. See, I'm an ex-pastor named Joe, one who loves the machine and the lights and the stage, but loves the truth more than his own video age. I'm an edgewalker, one who sees the buildings as just another wilderness, one who sees the trees as part of a concrete forest. As the city's domes down, his awareness is heightening, a modern-day primitive, as rare as autumn lightning. Or maybe I'm an English-American, but mostly Mexican sociologist, who's also a kung fu master! Like some kind of twisted Shaolin burrito and a fortune cookie made of plaster, served up in a vegan restaurant smack dab in the middle of the ghetto, with the fortune in the cookie made up of a cynicism sometimes so brilliant that it blows my mind. Or maybe I'm a sniper one who's still trying to figure out what he's gonna find in making that shot. What did you feel? The recoil of my rifle. What did you feel? The light they were trying to stifle. What do you feel? Hope, love, peace, beyond anything you can dream. Picking his shots on the battlefield, only now it's with his soccer team. The only debt he had to learn was the lyrics to the Deadhead songs he learned on tour, as he figures out it's up to his head if his heart is pure. Or maybe I'm fighting a good fight, feeling like I fail most of the time, as I watch the world around me that tries to cover up the crime, and I won't let it. Maybe I'll carry the child in my womb to the prisons I teach in, and write the words on the walls of the tomb they keep free speech in. And maybe I'll fight for the strong women who haven't found their strength yet, until they do, because it's far too long that the world goes barefoot when I can give them shoes. Or maybe I'll see a time coming when one too many of my friends are dead or in jail, decide what the hell, realize I gotta cut my losses, realize I wasn't supposed to be all that I could be in the U.S. Army, but maybe I'm a little more blue than I deserve, so I find a reason to protect and serve. Or maybe I'm a poet laureate with just enough slam to make her tough. who fights disease and family and ghosts like she just can't get enough. And maybe she doesn't pray to above, but her prayers got answered when she fell in love. Or maybe I'm a single letter of the alphabet at the top of a letter that just runs on and on. But hey, sure is good. Or maybe you had to push the pause button on the tape recorder of the music of your life to learn the words to the song of your daughter and wife, learning once and for all that that is true music. Or maybe you're a dealer trying to make a deal, or maybe you're a bum trying to get a meal, and maybe you'll shackle me happily, grinning in your power, but you can't cage my tongue, and you can't stop the hour, and we all got time. Man, we have all been around the block. And maybe you'll laugh it, or cry it, or bleed it, but get to it now. Write your stories down, because the rest of us need it.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks for pressing play. My name is Brad Wise. My co-host is Professor Steve Fuller. Thanks to Jim Zartman of Talkie Records for making all of our music. Thanks to Bubbles for sponsoring this episode. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the podcast, you should, and you can via iTunes. If you're anywhere close to Cincinnati, you should also get tickets to the four-letter word show KISS coming on February 13th. Go to rebelstorytellers.com. You can see all of our blogs, events, past episodes, and more. That's all I got. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.